In this week's Nutrition and Life episode, I speak with coach and educator Alex Bush from Physique Development. Alex and I speak about how to understand the human body to better control body composition, the individuality that is needed to see best results, and things that are overcomplicated or oversimplified from social media in regards to training and nutrition. I'm excited for you to listen to this episode, and if you enjoy the show, please help us spread the message, take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media, or leave us a rating or a review. Thank you so much. And now on to my conversation with Alex. Hello and welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and today I have the absolute pleasure of speaking with Alex Bush. He's a coach, the co-founder of Physique Development, and also a podcast host. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. I'm excited.
Yeah, so am I. I was just saying I had so much fun speaking with your wife a couple of weeks ago, and so I actually can't wait to talk to you also because I know that you guys collaborate, or you are a team essentially. So I'm excited to hear more.
Absolutely.
And upon looking at your content, I saw that you have a wonderful series on your own podcast at the moment, where I think it's an 18-part series, I'm not entirely sure, but where you educate people on just how to understand the human body better in order to understand how to manipulate body composition. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about that series.
Absolutely. So for our series, we are doing a muscle series where we're teaching the anatomy in as broken down, simple form as we possibly can. So my wife, Sue, and I go through and break things down from an insertion and an origin and how the muscles function. And it's very detailed in that particular episode. And then we provide a cheat sheet that gives all the content that we just talked about in the episode to our email list following the episode itself. And then the following episode is an interview of myself and another coach or a respected individual in the fitness space going over how we program training that muscle group for our clients, or how we've seen success for ourselves, and going over some of the different things of favorite exercises, things that may not work, or silly things that we may see online, and why we find that to be silly. And so those episodes have been very well received. This was our most requested series for us to provide. And so people have gotten a lot out of it, whether it be coaches themselves, or it be individuals who are just wanting to better understand how to move their body. It's been a big hit so far, and I think we're maybe six episodes in. We've gotten through glutes, we did lats, and we've done chest. So we've gotten through all six of those episodes thus far, and we've got a lot more on the horizon.
Very cool. And Sue told me quite a bit about your glute specific program already, so I won't go too much more into detail with that one, but the lats is another area that really interests me in particular. Also, I've had a lot of issues, or I've never been able to connect in terms of mind muscle connection to my lats, so I'm curious to hear what your favorite exercises would be for lat development.
So for lat development, I find that being in a supported position is probably going to be the best, because as you just said, a lot of people struggle with having that mind to muscle connection. And a lot of it comes down to lack of stability, because when we're training lats, a lot of individuals are just doing a pull down without having a chest support, or they're doing a horizontal row again without any chest support. And so getting somebody in a cable pull down or a cable row where they're able to have the chest support gives them that opposing force to where they can be a little bit more stable. That's a good starting point. The other is going to be starting probably with a single arm variation relative to a fixed bar setup for both hands being placed. Reason being for that, it just gives us a little bit more focus on the single arm, as well as being able to have individuality of where that handle can go. So being on a single cable, we can move this much easier rather than having a fixed handle that may be a little bit too wide or a little bit too narrow for that particular individual. And so having the single cable allows for you to get better setup. So a chest supported single cable movement, whether it be a pull down or a row variation, is probably where I would start for anyone who's struggled previously with feeling their lats or feeling like they're not seeing the progress that they want to see.
Very cool. I like these recommendations. I've definitely found some similar results with that in terms of having some chest support. And for me, also having or playing around with the different hand positions has made a big difference in the sense of just mentally being able to connect better to my lats. Also, I don't know if you're familiar with a specific grip type, which I think is called mag or so, but yeah, you kind of like grip in into them for like a pull down or even a row, more like if you were a climber, if that makes sense at all. Have you seen those? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, so the mag grips there, they are more of like a they fit into the mold of your hand. Like you're just wrapping your fingers
Precisely.
around. You're not fully making a fist. You're just wrapping your fingers around, and then it's like there's a plate that goes kind of on the palm of your hand, and it feels better for the mechanics of the hand. And so those handles are great.
Yeah, I totally agree. That kind of begs the question, how come I didn't even get you to properly introduce your background or so, but how come you're so knowledgeable when it comes to exercise physiology and just anatomy? Is that something you studied or just out of personal interest?
So I started with my degree work in exercise science. So I have my bachelor's in exercise science, and then I have my minor in nutrition. My starting point right out of college was I was working at the sports or the strength conditioning. I was a strength conditioning assistant coach at the university that I had attended. And so I was there for about 2 years while I was starting my online coaching service at the time. So I was very entrenched in athletics. I played college baseball myself and thought that strength conditioning was going to be my avenue. I had been very, very passionate about resistance training, lifting weights, from an early age of being 13 or 14 is when I got started. And I had amazing teachers. One of my the coach that I had worked with when I was in high school ended up being one of my professors as I went into college. And then he was also the strength conditioning coach at the university as I completed school. So he kind of like moved with me, and he was an amazing mentor, still to this day, an amazing mentor for me. So he was a big part. His name is Josh Wildeman, and he was fantastic. And then as I saw how the strength conditioning at the college level really went, where your job is not really dependent on how strong these athletes get. It depends on how they perform on the field. And if they don't perform well, you're finding a new job. And I felt that that was not really the path that I wanted to have for my family. Thus, I went all in on having the coaching service online. And December of this year will actually be year 10 for me doing this, which is super duper exciting. And I have just been in the trenches working with clients, working with a lot of continued education, in-one education being a big resource of education for me that I've had. Going to their practicals, taking their courses have been monumental in the success of my clients, as well as the improvement of my knowledge and those different factors. So a lot of continued education over the 10 years, as well as a lot of reps working with clients one-on-one.
Yeah, that application is so key. I mean, we can have the very best education, but if we never practice it, then we're not going to be great coaches. And likewise, of course, a coach without any actual evidence base is no good either. But yeah, one thing that you said, so you were working with teams, I presume, in the strength and conditioning space. And that is probably quite opposite to what you're doing now. You're preaching how important individualization is in training as well as in nutrition. And I think that's such a great message because we often think, like, oh, this diet works for me, or I prefer high carbs, or blah, blah, blah. I like having refeed days. And we automatically presume that the same is the case for the next person. And so then people become dogmatic. And yeah, I just love how you guys at Physique Development really tailor it to the individual. So maybe you can share a little bit about your intake process, like when you're taking on new clients, whether that be training or nutrition, or I don't know if you always do both necessarily. How do you really get to know the individual best and find out what works for them?
Sure. So we do training and nutrition together. That's going to be the majority, but there are clients who do nutrition or training only. The intake process is a lengthy one. And this is one where, individuals who want to have that individual coaching thrive in this. They're excited because we're asking very specific questions, getting a lot of details. The individual who wants this to be like really speedy is a little frustrated and overwhelmed by the amount of questions or the back and forth that we go through. So we start with a call and we go through and have a myriad of questions that we're going to ask to get some background on the individual, what they've been successful with in the past or what has not been successful, because a majority of our clients are going to have the experience of working with one, two, or maybe even three coaches prior to working with us, and generally not having a whole lot of success in those settings, and really craving like, hey, we need to finally, like, we've invested a lot of money here, and we have not had the success that we had wanted, and so now we're here. So we start off with the call, and then we have a intake form that's really going to get into the nuance of where their headspace is, because the training and the nutrition, as you are very well aware, can be perfect, but what's going on between those ears is generally going to be the thing that holds them back. And so getting into the mind of the client to see where the limiting beliefs may be, where are the maybe the issues within their time management, within what they believe they're able to get done within the gym, or what they, their expectations are out of alignment with what their efforts actually are, or what they can even, put into place from a day-to-day perspective of training and getting cardio in and so on and so forth. So really getting into integrating this into their lifestyle and asking more in-depth questions is a big part of our intake process. So we have the call, we have the intake form, and then we go back and forth for a little while. Generally, when someone signs up, we have about a week to a 2 week window where we are getting things situated. It's not like a 3 day turnaround of here's all your protocols, best of luck. It's much more than that. And so we take that time, and I take a lot of pride and excitement in the opportunity to get someone started on the right foot. And to get someone started on the right foot, we've got to really get down into the nuance and see what's held them back up until that point.
That's such a good point with regards to really taking the time to be thorough in order to get someone off in the right way, because I believe if we get off on the wrong way, then people lose motivation so quickly. And of course, that's going to determine the effort that they're putting in. So let's just say you're quote unquote wasting the first 3 weeks with the wrong protocol, whatever that might be. By that time, by the end of, oh, I've figured out this is actually not what we're supposed to be doing, or we were meant to go more aggressive or less aggressive or whatever. By that time, they've probably sort of checked out and been like, okay, this is just another thing that's not going to work type of thing. So really being thorough in the beginning, I really love that. I can imagine though, or like from my perspective, asking those questions about what's going on between the ears is super important. Nonetheless, it is really throughout time when we have those regular check-ins with our clients where we get to know them better and better, right? Like in the initial call, most people are not gonna pour out their heart and be like, oh, okay, actually, you're right. I've got this limiting belief and that limiting belief. It's more something that we've gotta like pull out of them a time over time.
Yeah, it definitely takes time. It's one of those things that you've got to also be able to read between the lines. This is where the experience really comes to be very beneficial, because 9 times out of 10, the client's not going to say outright what their limiting beliefs are or what they're struggling with. You've got to kind of pick up on some different cues or things that they're saying to kind of have an educated guess on the topic. And 9 times out of 10, you're going to be right on what that thing is that's holding them back, and you can kind of better structure the training or the nutrition or whatever the aspect is to go against what they've been believing to prove to themselves differently. And so that's an art in and of itself, and I think that that's a big part of coaching as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, just gaining that trust and that creating that connection and pr creating a safe space and asking the right questions. Absolutely. Yeah, so I guess we can probably say that generally speaking amongst other coaches, that intake process is probably something that's quite oversimplified in the wrong way. Is there other things just in general as it pertains to training or nutrition where you can say like, yeah, I think that's way too oversimplified, or maybe that's way too over under simple, like overcomplicated, essentially.
Sure. So for the intake form, I can understand why some coaches oversimplify that because they work so hard to get the lead in. They got them to sign up and they just want them to get started. They want to capitalize on the excitement of that sign up. So I get why some coaches kind of fall into that. But I would say the thing that's overlooked the most would be looking at how the client is performing exercise. So more often than not, coaches are going to be creating training protocols, having the exercises laid out, but not taking a real look at how the person is performing and just taking their word of, yeah, I know how to do that. Yeah, I know how to do that. And it's like, well, their perception of how to do that could be vastly different than what the coach's understanding is. And furthermore, what the intensity of performing that exercise is going to be. And so another part of our intake is going to be looking at training videos. So I have a list of 7 to 10 exercises, depending on where that person's ability is at. And so, they send over those 10 exercises, 7 to 10 exercises, and they outline what they think that intensity was. How many repetitions did they have or believe to have at the end of that set? So then I get an understanding of where is their intensity or what is their understanding of intensity. And then if the person's not comfortable enough to take a camera and their phone and a tripod into the gym, then I have them just go through the movement patterns at home. I miss out on the intensity part, but I at least get to see how their body moves. That will help me get a general idea, and I'm closer than I was without the videos at all. So it's not the best, but it's also not the worst. And so having those videos allows for me to better program, especially from a volume standpoint. Because if I have somebody who is doing the movements well, but they really don't understand intensity, I'm probably going to do more training volume to get the response that I want to see. But if I have someone who's executing well and also has very good intensity, that program may look like it's just less total sets or less total volume because they're just getting more bang for their buck in the exercises or the sets that they're performing. And so there's going to be varying levels because if, one client doesn't know how to have the intensity, one does, they get their each other's program and they're like, well, this is way too much volume, and then this is too little of volume. I feel like I'm not getting anything done, or I'm like excessively sore and I'm just doing a bunch of junk volume. And so that's, one tidbit there that I think is commonly overlooked. And there's a lot of coaches that I have talked to that really just have these base amount of training templates that they just have everyone kind of run and best of luck. It's like, that's really taking out a lot of the good and the progress that can be made for your clients when you're just having this, base amount of programs, this base amount of volume that you're just handing out to everyone, no matter what really the difference in individuality is.
Yeah, and I mean the tricky part with online training program, as great as it is, because it allows us to have clients all over the world, et cetera. But I mean, just that lack of someone double checking form, someone pushing us if needed, or someone pulling us back if needed, is so big. And I'll be honest, this year was the first year I've taken two personal training sessions with someone nearby, and I have a good experience. So over 10 years of some sort of strength training. Also with a master's in exercise science. So I've always kind of regarded myself as, yeah, I'm pretty decent at XYZ, and learned some of the technique and CrossFit classes as well, and Olympic lifting and so on. But nonetheless, there were exercises where I thought I was quote unquote perfect, and she's not going to be able to correct anything. Arrogant me is thinking there. And then she did like small adjustments, teeny tiny things, and suddenly it was like, whoa. After pull down, my neck doesn't have to be tense after my upper body day for the next 2, 3 days. Wow, that is incredible. Or, oh wow, finally I can feel this part of my glute much more. And it was very eye-opening for me and very humbling, and also just a very good reminder that no matter how good we are, and like the best people in the world, the Usain Bolt and whatever else they're called, they have coaches too for a reason. So, why would we skimp on checking someone else's forms? I think that's a really, really great point. Is there anything else that comes to mind in the sense of perhaps in our space that's overcomplicated, rather like maybe in the nutrition space, or just generally as coaches?
Overcomplicated. I would just put into the category of majoring in the minors, looking at the really nuanced, fun, new things that people want to incorporate, and just missing the big rocks of being able to optimize sleep, having quality nutrition, not getting too caught up in the specifics of is this organic, is this X, Y, and Z. It's just let's just have quality food, whole foods that we are able to disperse across three or four meals per day, and feel good. I think that that's the big thing that's missed, is that we get very focused on this is my specific body that I want to look like, relative to I want to feel this way. I want to just feel better. I want to be more energetic. I want to have more consistent energy throughout my day. I want to feel strong in the gym. Those are the things that almost everybody wants. But then the first thing that kind of gets them going is the visual part. And then they get very fixated on this. They're going to do everything possible just for the visual part. They get to the visual part and they're like, this is not as cool as I thought it was. And then they shift their focus to, I want to feel good, I want to be energetic, all those things. And so it's just kind of how the sequence of events goes. And I wish that there was a way to better prioritize the feel good, energetic, feeling stronger earlier for a lot of these individuals. But most times people have to get burnt by the stove to realize it's hot. And so it's just one of those situations.
Yeah, when that switch does happen, though, it's so beautiful to witness as a coach. I think where you're like, oh, yes, that means that they're gonna think in that way for the rest of their lives now, not just chasing a specific number or anything like that. And yeah, I totally agree with majoring in the minor, and often that specific focus on oh, organic or trying to be perfect in certain ways definitely deters from that consistency aspect, which is just the most important part, really. I think one thing that I would also say is perhaps a little bit overcomplicated at times, at least for Gen Pop, is the specific carb and fat distribution. And I don't know if at Physique Development how adamant you guys are about the specific macro distribution, but I think for a lot of Gen Pop clients, it can be very helpful just to say like, hey, hit your calories, hit your protein, get your steps, get your sleep. Blah, 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 blah. And they see amazing results without having to stress about, oh no, I'm 5 grams over my carbs and blah, blah, that kind of thing. Yeah, what's your approach with regards to macro accuracy?
So for the vast majority, I would say that hitting protein and then being able to hit the total calorie goal is going to be the most important. Now, for my athletes who have something very specific from a goal perspective, whether it be a running specific goal, it be body composition. So I work with a lot of bikini athletes, figure athletes, and then I also have people who are getting ready for Ironmans and marathons and so on. So for those people, then it gets more specific, where the specific amount of carbohydrates that we're consuming around events of training or running or what have you is going to get more and more important. So for the more advanced individuals, it's going to mean more, but for the vast majority of people, as you talked about, it's going to be much more centered around hitting protein, hitting calories. And then we look at digestion considerations. Are there things that we're running into of having too much fat in a specific meal, that we're having discomfort, slow digestion, something along those lines? Are we having too many carbohydrates to where we are very lethargic or tired following a meal? Now we're just looking at portion sizes more than anything. Because one thing that I really drive home for clients is that leaving a meal, we want to be like on a scale of 1 to 10, 8 or 9 full, and being able to feel energetic. Like we want to feel like that food pushed us forward, and being able to get back into what we are doing. If we're in a place where after we have a meal, we've got to kind of like get ourselves back revved up, we're a little drowsy following the meal, we've got something to address more internally. The food sources, the portion sizes, something along those lines. Because I, with all of my clients, when we're going through breakfast, lunch, even into dinner, we got to get back into doing stuff. We got a lot of things going on. We do not have the time to just, spinning around in our chair for 20, 30 minutes because we are exhausted from our meal. And now we're kind of our brains churning back on after eating. So finding a routine, a structure to the meals that allows for their day to be as efficient and productive as it possibly can be.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's a really good guideline also in terms of finding out your own personal meal frequency. Because as we know, I mean, there is no way of saying everyone should be eating three meals, everyone should be eating seven, like whatever. I think that's a very good guideline in regards to what your own personal food volume tolerance is for digestion, for energy, and so on. But yeah, I want to shift a little bit. Sue, your wife was telling us a lot about her amazing glute program, and I've seen some pictures of all the progress that she made with that, and she was so kind to share the first 4 weeks, I believe, of the program with us as well. For anyone listening, I'm going to put that in the show notes here again also because it's a great program. But I'm curious about your training actually. What are you focusing on at the moment? Do you have any personal goals? Are you just maintaining? I can imagine also as a busy business owner, sometimes there are phases where we're just trying to maintain where we're at. Where are you at right now?
So as a business owner, I have found that the times where I have a fitness specific goal, that the business goes much better because I'm just able to be more focused on a day-to-day basis. So I look at it all as kind of a daily win perspective of having a fitness win, a business win, a personal win, and keeping that as a recurring method, whatever it may be. So right now I'm preparing for a half marathon in October. So I'm like 10 and a half weeks out from that. And I'm working to maintain my muscle density as much as I possibly can as I'm going through this process. I previously competed in men's physique. I was very mediocre. I excelled much more within my coaching with working with pros and having girls go from being NPC athletes to IFBB athletes, and that has been my calling much more than me competing myself. So I have the it'll be my first half marathon. I've ran 5Ks and 10Ks, and this will be my first opportunity with a half marathon. And my goal there is to be able to run 8 minute miles for the half marathon. So that's my target right now within the training. I'm resistance training 4 days a week, and then I'm running 4 days a week as well. So I have a there's one full off day that I have on Sunday, and then everything else is undulated over the 6 days of getting the four lifts in and the four runs in place right now. So
Very cool. Well, I actually want to get into that a little bit more because we do have quite a lot of people listening to this who actually also love endurance training, but over time they've learned that they should be doing more hypertrophy training or
interesting.
strength training, especially as women are going through perimenopause and menopause, just dialing back on that sort of moderate intensity kind of exercise. So my question to you is, what are your main strategies so that you are maintaining as much muscle mass throughout this as possible? I mean, you said you are still 50-50 in terms of endurance and resistance training, but do you have any specific pointers as to what kind of exercises you're doing? Are you doing leg days in the gym on the same days that you're running, or like also nutritionally, what are some good pointers?
So nutritionally is probably the biggest thing. Keeping calories adequate or slightly above maintenance is certainly important. I find that when people are trying to incorporate running, then they're thinking, this is how I'm going to lose weight. And I need to lose weight for my running to go better. It's like, yes, we can lose weight, but it's going to be over a longer time horizon than what you're initially thinking, because you're trying to improve your skill of running, at least from my end. And maybe it goes, the opposite for some of the listeners here, where it's like, I'm really good at running, but I'm trying to get better at the skill of lifting weights and getting stronger. And so no matter if it's either or of needing to improve the skill, having the adequate calories in place and not getting too hung up on, is the scale going down? Like, I'm trying to lose weight, but I'm also trying to gain muscle. It's like, let's pick one. Let's focus on one big thing here. And so I would really hone in on nutrition. And if you're trying to facilitate running, you're trying to facilitate resistance training, this is not going to be a time to eat intuitively, because the amount of calories that are going to be needed are going to be more than what you're intuitively eating. And what's going to end up happening for that intuitive person is that they are having low days, they're having super high days, and then now we're having digestive issues because we're just going back and forth and trying to listen intuitively, where we should just have a set intake and it'll make life far more easy and less guessing of it all. So the set intake, I think, is huge. And then the sleep component is also huge, making sure that those two things are the largest priority, because your recovery is now so important because of the amount of physical activity you're doing on a week to week, even, day to day basis. So those things become even more of a priority than they were previously. Now, with the structure to my training, I have two upper body sessions. I have two lower body sessions. One lower body session is going to be more specific to strength. And then the other lower body session is going to include more plyometrics, but it's still going to have some strength components to it. And then my upper body sessions are just going to be split between push and pull work and balancing out the total volume on those sessions. That has been the most successful for me in terms of when I'm running in relation to those lower body days. So I'm running on the mornings of the lower body days, and then I'm lifting in the evenings of those particular days. I have my easier runs placed around the lower body days. Now, the plyometric and the strength day, that is not near as taxing as what my full strength day is earlier in the week. But I have an easy run on that morning before the strength session. I have my one full day off following that, and then I have another easy run that follows, 2 days, I suppose, after that lower body session. And then the next lower body session is 3 days after the first one. So that would be the structure that I have followed. And it's certainly more of a time game. Like you're learning to figure out kind of where that volume ends up falling. And so soreness is certainly elevated when you're first kind of introducing both into place, and figuring out meal timing and those things can be tremendously helpful there as well.
Yeah, I would imagine the meal timing to be quite tricky almost because you don't want to run when you're too full. You don't want to strength train when you're too full. At the same time, you need to make sure you're replenishing your glycogen and all that and having sufficient amino acids heading into your strength training. So, how, because you said you were running in the morning, do you have something to eat before that most of the time?
So in the morning, I will have water and coffee, and then I'll have carbs and electrolytes during the session. So I have some just in my water bottle as I'm going on the run. I run on the treadmill in the mornings because of that component of I don't really want to have the vest on with the water bottles and so on. So I run downstairs, and then immediately after that, I have a protein shake with cream of rice and like dates and peanut butter. So it's a pretty simple meal. And then that's like I've already eaten twice, if you will. I wouldn't call it twice, just once before. Then I have my normal breakfast 2 to 3 hours after that first. I'll call it a meal, but in my mind, it's more of a snack. and so then I have that, and then I will have one more full meal before I go into my training session. So I technically have 3 meals before my training session, and then I'll have 2 meals that follow that. The one after the training session is very similar to the one after the run. And then I have my full meal being dinner. So it's really 3 full meals with 2 large calorie-wise, but more snack type meals in there.
Yeah, I love it because they sound like they're very easily digestible, easily absorbed quickly into the bloodstream, etc. So you're really making sure you're blunting that cortisol, you're replenishing the glycogen, you're preparing yourself as best as possible. As you said, many people that combine, like, oh, I want to lose fat and I'm going to start running, then they don't eat anything around that running training and then they get more sore or even prone to injury, which I could imagine that in your strength training, you're probably incorporating a little bit of injury preventative work too, like more lateral sort of movements or just generally. Is there anything that you specifically put in there for that purpose?
So I have dynamic stretching in prior to my runs. So I have kind of this 15-minute routine that I have in place prior to the runs that is very focused to me getting into more of a stretch position with my hip, being able to have my hip flexors not in a flex position, actually getting stretched with the hip, which so many people are not getting that experience. So that, and then being able to have just mobility through abduction and adduction work, and then through my resistance training, then I have more dynamic work there, and then I have a little bit of stretching in the evenings. That's kind of how I've structured it out of I've had the dynamic before run, dynamic before the training, and then as I'm getting ready for bed, I have like a little static stretching routine that I'll have each evening that allows for me to recover. Because when I was not incorporating these things, when I was very hard-headed and thought, you know what, I have been an athlete my whole life. I used to be able to run, no issue. I'd be able to lift, no issue. Now that is not the case. It feels like all I'm doing is stretching and then I'm running for a little bit. I'm stretching and then I'm lifting for a little bit and then I'm just continuing to stretch. Those things have been a big shift, but have allowed for me to stay on task because this is like I've been back into running for about a year and a half. I prepped for a half marathon prior to this year and ran into an ankle injury, mostly just from pushing, running too quickly, increasing volume too quickly, so on and so forth. Was able to pull back and now in a much better situation with this second rodeo of preparing for the half marathon again.
That's awesome. What it really sounds like to me is that you are training with an athlete's mind, because you're making your recovery just as important as the actual training. And that's, like you said, so often we have to burn our hand on the stove before we learn. And yeah, same happened to me for sure also. But yeah, I have another kind of personal question, I guess, because you mentioned as a business owner, you think it's so important also prioritizing yourself and doing the things that are fun for you. Where do you see the future of physique development? What aspirations do you and Sue have really for the whole coaching? Is there any big projects coming up?
So I have big aspirations for physique development. Right now we serve as a one-on-one coaching service with an educational component. We provide a lot of education through our YouTube channel and through our podcast, both being 100% free. One of our big missions is to be providing education about the human body that's attainable or accessible to anyone who is wanting to improve their understanding. And so that's been a big focus for us. And I think that will continue on in the future. One big thing that I would like to see in the next 3 to 5 years is for us to have a physical location to be able to provide education in person and being able to take individuals through training and exercise in person in some capacity, whether it be privately with one-on-one training sessions, or it be in a group setting where we have people in town for a period of time where we're able to teach in a classroom setting, take them to the gym floor, be able to work through those things. That's one very large aspiration of mine that each day I'm just making sure that we're 1% closer to making that happen. And then just continuing to make the change of increasing individuals' understanding of how they can take care of themselves. I think that too often it's overcomplicated of I have to train 5 days a week. I have to hit these perfect macros and not understanding that there are just steps to it. And the more like wherever you're at, there's a step up from what you're doing to better take care of yourself and then being able to take the next step and so on. And so then being able to be the educational source that provides that understanding and being able to help as many people get into a healthier lifestyle, and not just be fixated on this perfect sports performance, bodybuilding, what have you. All those things are great. But I do want to help every person just take that next step.
I love that. I'm such a big believer in speaking out your aspirations, or just like, yeah, speaking out things into the universe. And I have no doubt that you're gonna make all these things
Thank you.
happen. You mentioned you're on the East Coast. Where exactly on the East Coast are you, just for your physical location, just for the future?
Yeah. So we are in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah, so hopefully you can slowly start by hosting some cool get-togethers or seminars and then building on that. And also I do think that it is very valuable for us coaches to also meet people in person. I mean, unfortunately, like I'm a digital nomad, so I literally have no specific location where I'm at, but sometimes I have the pleasure of meeting some of my clients in person or have had the pleasure to coach some people in person. And it's very rewarding in a different way as well. So yeah, I can see why that is a big dream of yours also.
I miss the, going back to working in the strength conditioning world, I miss the group team effort of being able to lift around a lot of people and being able to have one large goal, everyone supporting each other. It's just a really cool environment to be in that I really enjoy creating. And I haven't had the opportunity to create that in time. Like I did my personal training, I did the strength conditioning work. That was, very fun for me. And I would like to bring that back and integrate that into what we're doing now. But it's going to cost significantly more than it ever has in
Of course,
the past of
yes.
creating that. But it'll be
Yeah.
very worth it when the opportunity comes about.
Definitely, and I'm sure that if you have a space like that, you're going to be using it in multiple different ways, whether that's training or seminars or whatever. But you do already have a bit of a roster when it comes to your coaches, right, for physique development. How many coaches do you guys have on at the
So we
moment?
have five, and we have
Oh.
one or two that are training right now. We are
Amazing.
huge within getting the coaches the proper continued education before they actually start working for us. So when
Yeah.
someone is hired with us, there's a 3-month onboarding process. You're seeing a theme within physique development. We really take our time within whether it be clients or it be staff members that come in. And so throughout that 3-month period, we're doing a lot of education, taking them through different case studies of this is if this client comes to you, how are you handling this? How do you respond to this check-in? What are the steps that you're going to take for this fat loss phase? What are you going to take for this muscle building phase? And how can we improve this so that we are 1,000% confident that you are going to give the best possible service when you are able to take clients? Right now we have five total coaches.
I love it. Yeah, that is such an important part. And I mean, for most people that start off as entrepreneurs or business owners, we have a hard time relinquishing control or clients because we want to make sure they're taken care of really, really well. So this is a great method to ensure that your coaches are using the same methods with their own individuality and personality as you would as well. So yeah.
Well, I would add that the only reason we're doing it is because we've done it the wrong way previously. We
Okay.
had too much trust in coaches coming in, thinking that because of how we do it, then everybody's going to do it this way. And then we found out very quickly, oh, that's not how this works. Even though they had the same continued education, and they had the same degrees and so on and so forth, we just made the assumption that was wrong. And then we were able to pull back and say, okay, what's the most possible way that we can avoid this ever happening again? And we came up with this process, and it has been so much more beneficial. Is it way more time consuming for Sue and I? 1,000% yes. But I much rather spend the time beforehand rather than it be something where someone who trusts us comes into the service and then they get something that's not what they should have gotten or not what they expected or what they paid for, so on and so forth. Like I would rather spend as much time beforehand to have that never happen rather than it just be happening one time with one, client. So we only are doing it well now because we've done it poorly previously.
Well, I mean, there's always a learning curve, and just
Exactly.
realizing that yourself and taking action from that is a huge win. It goes in line with one of my favorite mottos or sayings that I have from a book, which is called The Four Agreements. And one of these is never assume. And I think it applies to all situations in life. And as humans, we just automatically like assume everyone sees the world with our eyes and has the best intentions and uses
Yes.
the same method. So. Yes. But yeah, Alex, thank you so much for your time. I'm really, really appreciative, and it was so much fun speaking with you. I will absolutely make sure to link your guys' YouTube channel and podcast, as well as again that 4-week glute program in the show notes, because everyone has to go and check that out, as well as just your and Sue's content on Instagram and YouTube anyway. So truly, thank you for your time. It was a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. It was great getting to chat with you.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Alex Bush. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go give us a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And one more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more. And feel free to use our code NCL at the checkout. Thank you so much for listening. And don't forget, life is too short to be in a body you don't feel good in.